Our lesson tonight is out of 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 to chapter 3, verse 10a, discerning true fellowship with God by its righteousness. 1 John was written to counter heretical views, so the epistle provides discernment and is thus filled with contrasts. Light and darkness in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, love of the world and love of God, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, children of God and children of the devil, chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 and verses 16 to 21. So we view the epistle for much needed spiritual discernment in our era and study John's teaching on discerning true fellowship with God by its righteousness in 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 to chapter 3, verse 10 for our insight, our application, and our edification. I'd like to read the verses that we have here before we get into the passage itself. Let me read them. Chapter 2, verse 28 to chapter 3, verse 10a. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not experientially know us, because it did not come to experientially know him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, that is Jesus, is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law also, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. All right. 1 John 2:28 begins a new section for John's reference to little children. That's what the King James Version puts it as. Translates the Greek down technia, that refers to all of God's spiritual offspring, regardless of their level of spiritual maturity. The word technia is kind of like the word that we use for offspring. You know, that could be a very immature offspring, could be a very mature offspring. It's just offspring. It's not the technical word paideia, which would be a little child. So that's what he's talking about, all of the grandchildren. So he's not talking about spiritual levels of maturity anymore. Now, this section introduces the thought of preparing to meet the Lord at the rapture with confidence and not with shame, by fellowshipping with him and practicing righteousness in life. I've talked with Christians over the years, and Christians are actually afraid and anxious about the rapture, because then they're going to see the Lord, and they don't know if the Lord is going to be happy with them or not, or if they're going to be ashamed. So this is a concern. It was a concern in the early church. John knew it as well. And so what he's doing is trying to prepare, seeking to prepare his readers to look forward to the coming of the Lord with confidence, actually with boldness. Now, to prepare to meet the Lord, we believers who have that hope purify ourselves from sin by confessing it to the Lord and by relying on the Holy Spirit to sustain a righteous life before the Lord. John mentioned the great love that God the Father has bestowed on us believers in Christ, seen in the fact that he has called us sons of God. And because we are sons of God, the world does not experientially know, that's the word gnoske, us, because it has not come experientially to know the Father. And to experientially, it's talking about fellowship. You can mix with unsaved people, you can seek to be friendly with them and everything, but there's no real in-depth spiritual fellowship, you notice, you have with an unsaved person. It's just not there. Your fellowship with another Christian is on a completely different level than speaking with an unsaved person. Well, though we currently are sons of God, the glory we shall visually display is not yet visible. But we know absolutely, this is the Greek word eudaimon, it's not gnosko in by way of experience, but knowing in an absolute sense, that when Christ appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is in all his heavenly divine glory. It's interesting, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was changed, the shape of his face was changed. It's interesting. His figure was changed, and also his face began to glow like the sun. And his clothing was changed. His clothes were like shimmering like a waterfall. It was probably a very high glossy silk type of a thing. So it changed it dramatically. But we'll be changed too. And we're going to reflect the glory of God just as the Lord Jesus will. This hope of reflecting the glory of God motivates us as believers to confess any sin we've committed and to rely on the Holy Spirit for sustained righteousness in living. It's interesting that if we're going to reflect the glory of God who is righteous, then it behooves us to say, why live in sin? We want to live righteously. John is writing this. One of the groups of people that he was writing against were the Gnostics. And the Gnostics believed that the body was sinful. It was hopelessly sinful. So you could go ahead and indulge the body in all sorts of lusts. It didn't matter because the body was going to be done away with. And John is writing to correct that. He says, no, we were saved to live lives without sin. And that's the point that he's trying to make here. And in their bodies someday, these bodies will reflect the glory of God. They'll be changed. Not like the Gnostics say that we'll leave our bodies. No, we're going to have our bodies changed and glorified. So we're going to reflect the glory of God. And that's the case. We want to confess our sins. We don't want to indulge in sins. Now, in addressing the need to purify ourselves, John defines certain facts about sin and righteousness and also about believers and unbelievers that his readers not be deceived by false teachers around them. John stated that whosoever commits sin commits lawlessness. Anomia, the word nomia is the law, and anomia puts an alpha pivot in front of it, means it negates it, lawlessness. That is, he violates the written law of Scripture, for sin is lawlessness. Incidentally, that's a biblical definition of sin. Sin is a violation of the law. We also know absolutely, this is oideta, that Christ appeared to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. We know this from the Word of God. So whosoever fellowships with, and the word abideth, in the King James, refers to fellowship. Whosoever fellowships with Christ does not sin. And whosoever sins has not seen him or come to know. Egonoken, that's the perfect tense. Come to know him in the sense of fellowship with him. When John uses the Greek word gnosko, either in the perfect tense or the present or aorist tense, he's talking about fellowship. The word abiding also talks about this fellowship with the Lord. John then urged his readers to let no false teacher deceive them about the following facts. There are two facts that he mentions here, verses 7 and 8a. First, he who commits righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus Christ is righteous. Second, he who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. Now, I want to stop there because years ago, there was a Bible study that was started in the area by some women, and they came to believe that this verse was teaching that you could lose your salvation because the Bible says he who commits sin is of the devil. So if you've sinned, you lost your salvation, you're of the devil. But I want to clarify what John is doing here. By these two claims, John did not mean the believer never commits sin, for in verse 3 of chapter 3, he stated that every son of God purifies himself as Christ is pure, implying that true believers can sin. Otherwise, why would he say we need to purify ourselves? Rather, John here contrasts the new nature in a believer that is born of God that cannot sin opposite the heretics whom John was countering in this epistle, with the sinful nature in the unsaved who are children of the devil who cannot help but sin. You see, a believer has a new nature. That new nature is incapable of sin. It's been created by God. It's created God without sin. And someday when we go to the to heaven to be with the Lord, that's the nature we're going to have. We're going to lose this old sin nature at the rapture or death, either one. But we're taking with us that new nature. And John is contrasting believers who are born of God. They have a new nature that cannot sin. On the other hand, unbelievers have an old sin nature and they cannot help but sin. And he's trying to contrast this. The Gnostics were saying, look, your body's going to die anyway. It's going to be destroyed. So go ahead and sin. And that's just the opposite of what John is trying to say here. No. If you're really born of God, if you're living in the new nature, you're not going to be able to sin. For this reason, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And, of course, the works of the devil are getting people to sin. Thus, all who are born of God do not commit sin in their new natures, for God's seed remains in their new natures, and they cannot sin because they in their new natures are born of God. In this contrast is manifested the offspring, that's technia, of God, and the offspring, technia, of the devil. It's interesting. In John 8:44, Jesus told the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So it's interesting that Satan has offspring and God has offspring. And you're either acting like your father the devil or you're acting like your father, God the Father in heaven. And this is the contrast that John is bringing out. So we must not be deceived about the fact that a believer's new nature that is born of God is unable to violate Scripture and sin, where the sinful nature by which unbelievers function cannot help but sin and violate God's word. Since we believers are born of God to be sons of God, destined to participate in God's glory, we should then purify ourselves of sin by confession and rely on the Holy Spirit to live righteously to prepare to meet the Lord. So basically, John's argument is start acting like what you were born for. You were born of the Lord to act and to live righteously. So live righteously. Don't continue to live in sin. So may we who were saved to live righteously in hope of our future destiny with the Lord. This is really something, I know this is very basic, but when you look at it, unrighteousness is lawlessness, which means it's a violation of the Word of God. So sin is violating the Word of God. If a person is fellowshipping with God, he's not violating Scripture. He's obeying it. So if a believer is violating Scripture and he says he fellowships with God, he's not. He's violating Scripture. He's not telling the truth. So we need to be very, very aware of the sharp line between light and darkness, righteousness and sin. And God wants us to practice living the life of righteousness.